So Mr. Barroso left the commission about 20 months ago, and in July he announced that he would join the investment bank Goldman Sachs, the controversial investment bank, and he would become their chairman and also an advisor.
Mm-hmm. So how long since he stepped down as a commission president?
He stepped down at the end of October 2014. And that's important because there are rules that govern what former commissioners can do, but they only last for 18 months. So those rules ran out in May 2016. And since then, we have seen a number of appointments like this one, where new ex-commissioners have taken new jobs with controversial companies, which we think are provoking conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm. So you're not very happy with what's happening, and you say it's incompatible with former commissioners' ongoing duty to behave with integrity and discretion.
Yes.
And you refer to some article from the EU treaty. Can you explain that?
Yes, that's right. So as I said, the concrete rules for commissioners only last for 18 months. But in fact, in the EU treaties, there is a clause, it's Article 245 for anyone that wants to look at it, and that puts an ongoing requirement on former commissioners when they take new jobs to act with integrity and discretion. That's the language that is used. And we think that this and a number of other job moves that have been made do not comply with that treaty obligation, and that then puts the ball in the court of either the Council or the Commission to take some serious action.
More specifically regarding Barroso and Goldman Sachs, what exactly is the problem?
Well, we have a number of concerns about Goldman Sachs. I think many people will recognise their role in the financial crisis of 2007, 2008. They were just fined over $5 billion by the US authorities for their role in subprime mortgages. And so that's one very important issue. Another one is that they are big lobbyists in the European Union. There are many corporate lobbyists in Brussels, but Goldman Sachs is there. It has had a lot of contact with the Commission, and it lobbies very heavily against financial regulation, against proposals that were coming from the Commission to try and protect the European Union countries from another financial crisis. And indeed, some of those proposals were actually put forward by the Barroso Commission itself. So it now seems very strange that Mr. Barroso has now jumped to the other side of the fence and is now going to be leading this controversial company. And of course, in Greece, Goldman Sachs has a difficult reputation as well, in that when Greece was trying to join the euro back in the early 2000s, Goldman Sachs helped them to, how should we say, manipulate its debt so that it appeared smaller than it actually was, enabling it to join the euro. So there are a number of reasons why we think that it is not compatible with the EU treaty for Mr. Barroso to join Goldman Sachs, because of this issue about ex-commissioners needing to act with integrity and discretion, and we think there are big concerns there.
You mentioned Greece, and that reminds me of a revolving door in the other direction. Wasn't Mr. Draghi, ECB head, wasn't he a Goldman Sachs employee during those days? Are there any rules for moves into the other direction? And if not, what do you request from before we get back to the revolving door to the financial industry?
Yes, so there are rules in place for moves in and out of the European Union institutions, but they vary according to the different institution and the category of official. So for commissioners, there are some rules when they leave office, but actually there are no rules when they join office. That it is just about which member state has nominated you and if you can pass through the European parliamentary hearings. And in fact, there's a current commissioner, Commissioner Modas from Portugal. He is actually an ex-employee of Goldman Sachs. If you're an official at the commission, there are rules for you to when you join the commission and when you leave. And when you join, there is supposed to be a conflicts of interest assessment, but in fact it seems to be fairly light and superficial. The rules when you leave the commission are, if you're an official, are a bit tougher. But again, we see some of the implementation of those is a little bit superficial. Uh-huh. And then you have members of the European Parliament. There are no rules for them joining the Parliament, which perhaps is fair enough. They're elected officials. They're elected members of Parliament. So, of course, we as citizens should be able to choose who we want. But there are no rules when MEPs leave. And again, we think that is problematic because we see many MEPs who lose their seat or leave office for other reasons and then go straight into lobbying jobs or other jobs which have been associated, quite closely associated, with the work that they did as an MEP. And again, yeah, we find that problematic.
Mm-hmm. So to end chapter of Goldman Sachs, you also mentioned that Goldman Sachs and ISDA received the honor of being named worst EU lobbyists,
yes,
in 2010.
Yes.
What is ISDA? It's International Swaps and Derivatives Association.
That's right.
What do they do, and why did they get that award?
So Goldman Sachs is a member of a number of trade associations operating in Europe, and these trade associations are very important because like-minded businesses, so Goldman Sachs and the other big investment firms, you could think of JP Morgan or Morgan Stanley or some of the other big names, they group together in these trade associations to combine their lobbying power, because of course while they are competitors in the marketplace, actually when it comes to regulation, they pretty much have the same agenda. So the trade associations are very powerful in the lobby world of Brussels, and the ISDA is an important one. And we, along with other NGOs, ran an annual competition to ask people to vote for the worst lobbying that we could see. And back in 2010, Goldman Sachs and ISDA won their joint award for their joint lobbying against the regulation of derivatives, and derivatives being a financial instrument that was quite closely implicated in the financial crash of 2007-2008.
Yes, that was a year and a half after the crisis, really.
Exactly, that, yeah. Exactly. And there was a big campaign, ever since that moment, there was a big campaign by the financial industry against tougher regulation of some of these very obscure financial instruments that are very hard to understand, but were really seriously implicated in the crisis. But of course, the industry wanted to keep their freedom and flexibility to use those instruments as they liked. So that was why they won the award in 2010.
Okay, enough about the financial industry, but you referred to it already earlier. Other commissioners and high-placed people who have used the revolving door, and I earlier spoke to somebody from CEO, talking about Karel de Gucht.
Yes.
So where is he now? He is a former commissioner, and where is he now?
Yes, so Karel de Gucht was the Trade Commissioner.
Yes.
Under the Barroso Commission. He left office in 2014. He joined a number of financial companies, and he also joined the board of Proximus, which your readers will know, or previously went by the name of Belgicom. Mm-hmm. Your readers, your listeners will know it. And he, we were very concerned about all of those moves. We thought they were inappropriate for a former trade commissioner. But then after the rules ended for ex-commissioners, so this important date of May 2016, within a few weeks, Mr. De Groot announced that he was joining the board of ArcelorMittal, the major global mining mining corporation. And again, for us, we think that was that there is a risk of a conflict of interest in that role, and we think there is perhaps no surprise that he waited until the rules had ended before that job was announced.
Yes,
and we think there should be tougher rules to prevent that kind of role.
Yeah, another famous or infamous example was Nelly Kroes,
yes,
who's now on the board of Uber, and what is striking that the rule ended in May 16, and then very briefly afterwards they joined these companies. So they must have been talking to them before, no?
I have no information about that, but one can imagine that that was the case. Some of these announcements have had to be approved at annual general meetings and things. So of course they must have been in the pipeline for a while. The rules don't specifically prevent or ban negotiation, but certainly the job should not have been taken before the 18 months, and certainly no payment should have been made before the 18 months ended. But yes, one can imagine that negotiations have been going on for some time.
Yeah, so you have this 18 months that delay or time that they're not allowed to, the commissioners are allowed to join companies, and you suggest that to extend that to 3 years, or CEO just to extend it to 3 years, is that sufficient?
Yes. Well, we suggest 3 years for commissioners. It could be that when there's a commission president, that in fact the time period should be 5 years. This is the first time that we've seen a commission president like Barroso going through the revolving door in this way. I can't remember another case like it where a former commissioner has taken any new job. A former commission president has taken any new job, let alone such a controversial one. So arguably, the limit on them should be 5 years. The problem with the proposed rule changes is that it is the current commission, the current College of Commissioners, who would need to approve that.
Yeah.
So there is an issue about how to say it, Turkey's voting for Christmas, if you like. Will the current commission, the current commissioners, will they be strong enough and prepared to adopt future rules for themselves? Because I guess rules cannot be applied retrospectively, they can only be applied for the future. We certainly hope that they would take that step, but it is one of the many flaws in the system that commissioners have to approve their own rules. But there's a further thing as well about Mr. Barroso. The Commission and the Council have the opportunity to take a case against him at the Court of Justice to remove his pension. And that's the only course that's available for him. He's an ex-employee. There's very little you can do about ex-employees, but he will be entitled to a pension in a few years' time. And we very much hope that the Council or the Commission will take a case against the Court of Justice as an important symbol that the EU will not stand for this kind of breach of the treaty and this kind of breach of conflicts of interest rules.
Zo, dat was het dan. Vicky Kaan van Corporate Europe Observatory, dus een NGO die kritisch kijkt naar de belangenvermenging tussen politici op Europees niveau en de privésector. En om het niet te veel te laten uitlopen, hebben we nog een paar stukjes laten wegvallen waarover het hadden. Dus wat er wel interessant was, ik vroeg ook van hoeveel worden die mensen daarvoor betaald, de Karel de Huchten en zo. Dat wist ze niet direct. Natuurlijk, dat is ook nog een beetje vroeg. Ze maken dat ook niet zo graag bekend. Dat moet toch, zeker als het bedrijf op de Britse beurs genoteerd is, moet dat eigenlijk in het jaarverslag komen. Ik heb er een keer naar gekeken wat dus mensen vanuit de raad van bestuur van ArcelorMittal krijgen. En ik vond het niet direct, is te zeggen, ja, de afgelopen 15 minuten vond ik het niet. Maar met wat beter zoeken kunt u dat wel vinden. Voor alle geval, het moet duidelijk zijn dat dat alleszins goed betaald is, want die mensen doen eigenlijk niet veel. Hè, want oftewel zijn ze supermensen, misschien wel, omdat die in vele gevallen in een hoop raden van bestuur zitten. Verder, de respons, daar hebben we het eigenlijk ook niet over gehad. Wat opvallend was, was toch dat de respons vanuit de Franse kant toch wel redelijk hevig was. Blijkbaar heeft Hollande zelf zitten reclameren. Misschien is dat uit politiek opportunisme om zijn eigen gebrek aan populariteit, enzovoort, enzovoort. Dus, maar dat Vicky Kahn van CEO wees er toch dat dat eigenlijk ongezien is. Dus die hevige respons van een land op dat soort belangenvermenging waaraan Barroso zich nu te buiten gaat. Maar dus valt dus te bezien of het maar bij lippendienst, of het bij lippendienst blijft of ze er effectief iets aan gaan doen. Dus, en dat gaan we binnenkort weten, want het politiek leven komt weer op gang, ook in Europa. En dus in september, oktober, deze volgende maand, zal blijken of dus het meer was dan wat bla bla. Ten slotte, dus, als u dat ook niet zo'n goed idee vindt, die belangenvermenging, kunt u dus een petitie ondertekenen. Die is te vinden op wemove.eu, dus wemove, wemove.eu. En wat vragen ze? Dus die eerder besproken verlenging van dus het na het beëindigen van een job bij de Europese Commissie, voordat je dan in de privé stapt, om dat te, die periode waarin ze dat niet mogen doen, te verlengen van 1,5 naar 3 jaar. En verder ook dat een onafhankelijk orgaan zou beslissen of die overstap wel ethisch aanvaardbaar is. Voilà.